Hi, everyone. It's Dave Denton. It's time for another edition of Turnbuckle Trash. On today's Trash, man, we got a lot of stuff to talk about. Post-WrestleMania, plus the Superstar Shake-Up, we'll be talking to Chris Vanini, a writer for college football, also for professional wrestling, for theathletic.com. It's a great website all about sports. They have an app and more. We'll talk to him about not only WrestleMania, but a little bit of college football and how you can get involved with their app. That's coming up in a little bit. Chris on the mat, he and I discuss a lot about WrestleMania and a two-part discussion with Zane Peterson, where we talk about a lot of the news and controversies in the world of professional wrestling, including racism. We'll talk about that on this edition of Turnbuckle Trash.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
After all, they're just wrestling, right?
Woo! We'll break your bones! We'll grind you into putty! We'll turn your faces off!
It's time to take out the trash on Turnbuckle Trash. Pro wrestling from a fan's perspective.
Without further ado, allow me to present the newest sensation of the entertainment world,
Zane Peterson.
Well, he's doing really, really well blocking those punches with his face.
Dave Denton.
A mindless eating machine.
Ready, master control?
Ready, switch on.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
I'm taking the trash out!
Well, 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 as I always say, welcome back, my friends, to the show that ends usually about after about an hour. Can I be the host today?
You are the host with the most.
I am your host, Zane O. Mac, the Mac Daddy of professional wrestling. And I'm going to introduce to you, all the listeners, my co-host for the day, the man who has seen it all, but has understood very little of it, the doctor of professional wrestling. You've seen a lot of professional wrestling, haven't you?
I have seen hours and hundreds and thousands and millions of hours over my lifetime. I've watched a bunch.
Everybody probably knows that this is Dave, right?
I hope so.
Hey, you know, I listened to our podcast last week?
Uh-huh.
2 weeks ago?
Right before Mania?
Right before Mania.
Uh-huh.
The radio show?
Uh-huh.
You did such a good job on that radio show.
I are a professional radio announcer. I know how to speak goodly English.
Like the way you led the discussion for people who weren't very knowledgeable on professional wrestling was pretty cool.
I think people can tell that I do enjoy all aspects. I like listening. I like knowing a little bit more about the business side, behind the scenes, the performances, everything. I love it.
My kid's carving on the wood chair. I think I'm going to beat him.
Don't do that. Put it
Don't
away,
do that.
Sorry.
Takes after his dad.
So it's been quite an active week, hasn't it?
There has been so much happening post-WrestleMania that I think it's unusual.
So let's talk about Mania for a minute. I think being over, we don't need to spend too much time on it.
Right. And Chris and I go over that a lot in our segment.
Three things that you liked, three things that you didn't like.
I really enjoyed the SmackDown Tag Team Champion Fatal 4-Way match. I enjoyed the main event, the ladies' main event, although there was a lot of controversy over that. I enjoyed just the atmosphere. Three things I did not like. It was too long. I did not like Brock Lesnar, but I'm not a Brock Lesnar fan. I was glad he got hit in the Wachobies. I was disappointed in the AJ Styles-Randy Orton match, especially to find out that one of the problems they had was with stadium lighting.
I guess I didn't hear that. Enlighten me.
Well, what happened was during that match when the sun was actually starting to set in New York or New Jersey, and so they were turning on the lights, and a lot of people were being blinded because they didn't have the lights placed in the right position. People there in the crowd started booing, And then the lighting wasn't good for the performers themselves, AJ and Randy. And AJ Styles said the match wasn't as crisp as he wanted because they were dealing with trying to please the fans who couldn't see or were being blinded by the lights and the booing. That kind of threw them off a little bit. I just thought the match was a little bit lackluster, but to come to find out that happened, I can understand.
I did not know that. How did you find out about that? Just reading on the interweb?
I think it was Chris that told me about it first, and then I started reading more about it. And
well, it's like I said, the man who has seen it all. That's you, Dave.
I couldn't see because light was in my eyes.
I saw a write-up. I think it was in Cage Side Seats or one of those that it said WrestleMania was too damn long.
It was too dang long. Yes, it was. I mean, 7.5 hours.
So did you know I read this thing? So the WWE got fined $100,000 for every it was like every 10 minutes or something that it went over for. So that's why several matches got cut short. They said they cut 12 minutes from the women's match, and they cut several minutes from several segments because they were over their – I don't know if it's an occupancy law or
– A lot of cities will have, especially for outdoor events, they'll have time frames that they have to be over with by a certain time. And I remember watching the women's championship match, and I looked up, and here I am in the Intermountain West, and it was after 10 o'clock. I'm saying, it's after midnight back in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And can you imagine living in that neighborhood and then they start shooting off the fireworks?
Mm-hmm.
Or even near there? Mm-hmm. I wouldn't have been happy. So I bet that's what it was.
Yeah, that sounds right. But they got fined something like 100. It was over 100 grand. I had no idea that there was stuff like that happened, that they got fined for going over time limits like that.
Yeah, in a lot of municipalities, it's that way. Even here in Logan, Utah, I don't want to call it quiet hours, but during the week, if you have an outside event at 10 p.m., you better be quiet or you're going to face fines or possibly even some kind of legal action against your event. And then on the weekend, I think it goes 11 and 12 o'clock on Friday and Saturday night. I'm not exactly sure of that time frame. But that's pretty common in most municipalities, especially for outdoor events, that they need to be over with by a certain time if they're going to be loud, like a WrestleMania with fireworks and things like that. Now, a baseball game that goes extra innings, they might turn down the PA system a little bit after a certain time. They might not play the batter's music going up to the bat as loud, or might not even play it at all to make sure that is not going to be finable. But yeah, it's pretty common in most municipalities.
But they also talked about the reason why the WWE has 7.5 hours or whatever of wrestling is because of the way that they say there's certain time slots that certain people can watch. And the reason they have it for so long is because of those time slots. And I don't know how all that stuff works out. You might know, being in media, where certain time slots, they get more for certain advertisements and things like that.
Yeah, you want let's take the kickoff match, the first match of the evening, which reportedly was supposed to be a little bit later on, but it was put as the first match of the evening. You've got Brock against Seth. Well, that's starting at 5 o'clock here in the Mountain West. It's starting at 4 o'clock on the Pacific. But in the East Coast, it's prime time on the East Coast. So if you're selling advertisement, you can charge more money for that. And yes, there were ads placed inside WrestleMania in the streaming service that I pay for. That ticked me off, but I can understand why. That's the reason they do that. Advertising agencies, when they purchase advertising time, and whether it's advertising placement like a sign or this match brought to you by Snickers. You know, feel better when you eat a Snickers. If they show it during like 7 and 8 o'clock on the East Coast, they can charge more for that than if it was 7 and 8 o'clock, and then if it's 4, 5, 6 o'clock on the West Coast, because that's when more people are watching, is that prime time element. And it all goes to, you know, how many people are watching an event, TV, radio, whatever, at one particular time.
So that's just the reason why they have such a huge time slot is for that?
It doesn't make a whole lot of a sense to me, but I would think that's probably something to do with it. Monday Night Raw and SmackDown Live are supposed to be live, correct?
Yeah.
Do you get them live?
Well, we don't get them live here, right?
No, we do not, because Chris will be posting about something on Turnbuckle Trash, you know, on our Facebook page, and he'll say, well, haven't you seen it yet when I make a comment? I say, no, it doesn't start until 9 p.m. Mountain Time here, and he's back on the East Coast in North Carolina. They're getting it live. We on the West Coast aren't, unless you're on one of the Dish Networks or whatever that other DirecTV might be running it live.
I see. So what do they do? I mean, it says that, like I said, I was trying to find it for a minute. I zoned out for a sec trying to find it on the interweb, but I don't know exactly where the site was that I was reading it. But it talked about the ticket sales at the gate and stuff that they more than made up for the fine. They said the fine didn't even bother the WWE, but they were getting in some serious cashola forked out for that. So
I can see that. I can just go back to a situation I was in one time with the radio station. We were doing a little event on a Friday night, and we were playing music, and it hit 11 o'clock, and the police were right there telling us to shut it down because we were an outdoor event, and some of the people in the neighborhood were complaining about it.
So aside from being too long, and you did enjoy the show?
I thought it was immensely better than last year's.
Mm-hmm.
Another thing I didn't like, the Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal.
Yeah,
stupid.
Yeah, that just needs to be. That's probably another reason why they went too long.
Yeah.
I mean, cut that match out and give Becky Lynch and Ronda 15 more minutes, you know?
Well, the controversy with that match where the official was actually fine because they didn't do the ending correctly, evidently, somehow. But it worked for me as controversy sells. I mean, it really wasn't a clean finish with Ronda Rousey's shoulder definitely up off the mat. But isn't that what wrestling's all about?
Well, yeah. Remember when Brock Lesnar tapped out to Hell's Gate, but then he ended up pinning The Undertaker?
Uh-huh.
You know, and there was a lot of people pissed off about that.
Right.
I know it was all planned. But so the ref got fined, huh?
Yes, he got fined because they didn't really do the ending the way that, I just say, Vince really wanted it. He wanted it to be a tap out of Charlotte Flair against Becky instead of a count out on Ronda Rousey. I don't know where the controversy comes in, the confusion. But I thought it was fine. I even mentioned it to Jonathan, who was with me. I said, her shoulder was up. And I'm going, oh, they're going to have fun with this one. And I thought they should have wrote that into Monday Night Raw, just talking a lot about, oh, yeah, the shoulder was up, but Ronda wasn't there.
So we had a few title changes throughout the night.
Mm-hmm. Seven altogether.
Let's talk about those for a minute. Tell me about those.
205 Live, Buddy Murphy is no longer the Cruiserweight champion. He has now moved on to SmackDown. Buddy Murphy loses to Tony Nese, who's got an 8-pack and not just a 6-pack. He's got some abs on him now. Fine match. It was just a fun match. The Raw Tag Team Championship match between the Revivals.
It was Zack Ryder and...
Yep.
Yeah.
And that guy.
The Curt Hawkins.
Curt Hawkins, man. Curt Hawkins. Thank you so
Okay. Brain fart. Oh, senior moment for both of us.
We'll just call it a senior moment. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I mean, after all, we are just fans. We're not professionals, right?
I like that match. I like the way it ended with him playing possum and then getting his first win in like 269 wins or something like that, or losses. So that's neither here nor there. I kind of liked it, but I didn't like it because I liked the Revival so much. Then you also had the women's championship changing hands, Finn Balor, in not the best match of the night against Bobby Lashley, but still pretty good. Finn Balor, the IC champion.
So apparently now part of the demon identity is you have to growl and spit and stick your tongue out a lot.
Yeah.
I didn't understand that. I was like, why is he like growling and like sticking his tongue out all the time?
Because he's a beast. He's so beastly.
Yeah, he's super beastly, isn't he?
Yeah, yeah. And I didn't like the makeup the way they did it this time, because I like it when they do it and when he raises his chin up, it looks like a big mouth is opened up. I like it. I like it when they do it that way, but they just use teeth this time.
Yeah, yeah. It was kind of a lackluster match. I didn't. And we've talked about this 1,000 times. I've read some stuff again last week that. You know, the WWE has had Lashley and Lesnar on the same frickin' roster for almost a year now and did nothing for it. Nothing. Absolutely nothing with it. Oh. I mean, you want to talk about a main event that would seriously draw some serious cash and nothing.
Just nothing.
That's the only way you can say it, man.
That's just... They completely missed the boat.
Yeah, I mean, that was like a big nothing burger with no condiments.
Yeah.
Guess that's in the past now.
Yeah.
So Lesnar did renew a contract, though.
I guess they said
it was a short-term contract for after Mania. Man, I don't know. I believe everything I read online, though.
Oh, yeah. No, this is one of those, who cares?
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
Let's see what else happened. They had seven title changes. Of course, the big one, Kofi Kingston beating Daniel Bryan. The crowd loved that match. Man, the crowd just was into that match, and I'm happy for Kofi Kingston. I thought he's one of my favorite performers. He has been for years, and I kind of liked it.
Him winning that one. Okay, I want to talk about this for a minute. You know me. Okay, do we need to put like a warning in front of this or something, like Zane's opinion or something like that? Do we need to have a disclaimer or something right now?
Okay, let me do this. The comments you hear in the preceding program are not necessarily those of an intelligent human being. And now, Zane Peterson.
So I sent you some links a couple days before Mania. It seemed to be quite a little stir on the mainstream media, which you know we all love so much.
So much.
And I sent you an article that said that the WWE is finally making up for all of their racism that they've had over the years by putting Kofi Kingston in a main event. And I remember I texted you and I said, and I think I posted it on our Facebook page and I posted it on my own Facebook page. I said, you know, what a bunch of crap. That really pissed me off because, you know, it had, in my opinion, Kofi was way over with the fans right now. Some of those matches and some of the stuff that he's done over the years. I mean, Kofi's held the U.S. championship. He's held the Intercontinental championship. I mean, the guy deserves it. Why not? You know, he's freaking talented as heck in the ring.
Oh, yeah.
He's great on the mic. He's good. He's good, dude. He's championship material. I mean, if Jinder Mahal can be a champion, why can't Kofi Kingston?
The only reason this happened the way it did was the way that Vince McMahon kept taking away the opportunities from him on the lead up to WrestleMania. That lent itself to that type of scrutiny by the mainstream media. And I'll tell you this right now, 100% Dave Denton's opinion, and I firmly believe this, they did that on purpose to get publicity. Yep. They played the mainstream media like a trumpet.
You know, and there's been plenty of other nationalities that have been held titles and have held high callings in the WWE. I mean, you met Ron Simmons at Comic-Con.
Man. Yeah.
And he let you hold his belt, didn't he?
Yes, he did. Hold his belt, and he let my wife put his College Football Hall of Fame ring on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wonderful.
And what belt was that?
It was the WCW World Title belt.
Yeah. So, I mean, they talk about race and professional wrestling, and I'm just like, you know, was Ron Simmons one of the first?
Yeah, in WCW, I think he was the first black champion, but the first real of national event that became a black champion was a match I actually went to. It was Rocky Johnson against Jerry the King Lawler at the Mid-South Coliseum for the Southern Heavyweight title.
So what you're saying is okay, are we allowed to say this, that race had nothing to do with it?
I don't think so. Gail Kim, you know, the TNA knockout who wrestled in the WWE, she thinks it does have a lot to do with it. Okay, to be honest with you, I ran out of time and I had to go to an appointment, so we're going to do a second part of our discussion with Zane coming up in just a little bit, but we have a great interview right now. It's a guy named Chris Vanini. Now, Chris is a writer. He's a great sports writer. He covers college football for TheAthletic.com, but also part of his thing that he does for TheAthletic.com is covers professional wrestling. Had a nice interview with Ajay, myself, and Chris. We'll do that next on Turnbuckle Trash.
This is Turnbuckle Trash. Zane Peterson.
You're the greatest guy in the whole galaxy.
Yeah, I'm a real class act.
Now we'll get some action.
Ajay Salveson.
The juice is loose.
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 Dave Denton.
Man, you don't want no bread. You don't want no salad. All he wants is meat.
It's time to take out the trash.
Let's show him what we got, guys.
This is Turnbuckle Trash.
Welcome back to Turnbuckle Trash. Dave Denton, Ajay Salveson. We are honored, we are thrilled to be able to be joined by one of the best in regards of the writing business, especially sports business. He's of The Athletic. He has covered things from football, even college football. He's one of the best writers in the business. I follow him religiously, probably a bit too religiously. Chris Vanini of The Athletic joins us here on Turnbuckle Trash. Chris, thank you so much for your time. Greatly appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It's good to be here.
Chris, we'll get kind of a deep dive into WrestleMania 35, the aftermath of it. You wrote an article on The Athletic, super, super good, about the aftermath, or at least a recap on WrestleMania and maybe what to expect after that. And for the most part, you were dead on. I first want to ask you, though, when did you start to get into wrestling? What are your early memories of being a wrestle fan?
My first wrestling memory is from an in your house in, must have been 1997, Undertaker versus Shawn Michaels, and Shawn Michaels was trying to climb out from the ropes, and Undertaker grabs the back of his trunks, and his spare butt is just there. That's the first thing that comes to mind when I think of my earliest wrestling moments. So it was right at the beginning of the Attitude Era. I was a kid. I was 7, 8 years old at the time. And my dad had a special cable box thing where you could kind of get pay-per-views through different means, and so got into it that way. And I got out around 2000, right after the invasion in 2001, got back in with CM Punk stuff. So I kind of had a dead period there, but fully back into it over the past 5+ years now.
Oh, that's awesome. So, so Chris, right now with theathletic.com, you do cover college athletics and college football. And let's talk about just a hair about what you thought about the last season and maybe some thoughts about what's coming up this coming year as far as college athletic, who's going to be the teams to watch.
Well, I think you have to start with the two teams that have really been ahead of everybody else over the last few years, and that's Alabama and Clemson. You know, they're always reloading with great players. They both have their quarterbacks back in Tua Tagovailoa and Trevor Lawrence. Until I see otherwise, there's no reason I wouldn't expect another Alabama-Clemson matchup in the college football playoff. Some other teams will try to make a push like Georgia and stuff like that. But really right now it's a two-horse sport until someone's able to step up.
Hey, you know, since we're going with college football, I'll go ahead and just take a shot here as well, since I do a sports radio show, Dave.
Yeah, that's right.
If that's all right.
Yeah,
listen, Utah State here, Aggies, after one incredible season, they lose their head coach, Matt Wells, who goes to Texas Tech. Gary Anderson, former coach here, now comes back after two or a couple humbling 10 years, one at Wisconsin, one at Oregon State, that turned into a disaster. Can Utah State replicate what they did last year, or is that a one-year fluke?
You know, I think it's possible, and it all comes down to, because you have Jordan Love coming back at quarterback, one of the best quarterbacks last year, but probably really underrated for the season he had. He continues to grow and should continue to do a good job. If you've got a quarterback, you've got a chance. And Matt Wells did a great job taking over for Gary a few years ago. Now Gary comes back in kind of a weird situation that he made his way back, but I think there's... There's still plenty of reasons to be excited in what is really a very good Mountain West and should be good again next year.
Chris, let's go ahead and just jump right into it. WrestleMania 35, you said it was one of the better ones that you've seen in recent memory. That last bit got a little bit weird for me, but I want to ask you, the main event, your thoughts?
I would have liked a cleaner finish just for the sake of the women and everything that they've gone through. There's reports whether or not that was supposed to be the finish, whether the referee messed up, whether Ronda messed up. I don't know whose fault, whatever. It would have just been nice to have that clear moment so it didn't feel a little awkward at the end when Becky Lynch was carrying the belts up and everything. Maybe it was supposed to end up on a roll-up, which would have seemed a little weird, but other than that, it was a good match. I like that they did a triple threat. I know a lot of people wanted it just to be Becky and Ronda, but Charlotte more than held her end and added to the story as it went along. It was a really convoluted path to get there from Survivor Series onward, but still happy that they got the main event and everything that came with it.
Well, Chris, this is Dave again on Turnbuckle Trash. I was going to ask you about the women's movement in professional wrestling. You said you got back into it about 5 years ago. And there is such a difference between the way the women are booked now and then what they were in the past. It's been a kind of fun to watch. And I was going to ask you, what are your readers and the people that you deal with, what are they talking about with women in professional wrestling now? How are they doing that?
You know, I think most people treat it like every other wrestlers now. You have debates about certain people being pushed, certain people being not pushed. The mic abilities, the ring work abilities. There are certain times when people say that they wish there were more women matches on a show or they got longer matches, but it's a pure wrestling conversation now around them, which is great. Over the past year, they've done so many firsts, which was more than a long time coming, and it's nice to finally have gotten there. And a big reason it happened was because of the fans and that Give Divas a Chance movement a number of years ago, when people were tired of roll-ups and cattiness and nothing going along with that. People realized, especially through NXT, that there were so many good women's wrestlers out there that they deserved to be given the same opportunities and treated the same way as male wrestlers. And I think the point we're at now, that's certainly been the case.
Chris Vanini of The Athletic joining us does an incredible job in regards of college athletics, specifically college football, and is also a wrestling guy nonetheless as well. Chris, want to ask you, Kofi Kingston went through like one of the most hellacious obstacles to just to win the title belt. And when, as you saw that obstacle kind of going through, did you kind of get the sense that, I mean, Kofi was going to win this thing at WrestleMania, that they were just building it up to WrestleMania, or were you still unsure at WrestleMania 35?
You know, I always knew that they would get to Kofi Bryan based on the way things, you know, after Mustafa Ali gets hurt and Kofi gets thrown into the gauntlet match and has a great performance and builds up from there. And the Elimination Chamber match was awesome. And right after that, you're not sure if they're going to keep going with Kofi or move on to something else. Once it was clear they were sticking with Kofi, you knew that they would get to Brian Kofi, which was the right thing to do. But when you got to the match, I was still unsure. I mean, WrestleMania 19 with Triple H going over Booker T, I think is still fresh in a lot of people's minds. And with the way that played out and certain racial things that were said and the bad guy going over, does not sit well with a lot of people. So you had to figure that Brian wouldn't let that happen, but you still never really knew in the back of your mind if Vince was going to call some sort of audible or something. So when Brian had those near falls, you know, you were really into it because it was a storyline within the storyline or outside the storyline, really. And so when Kofi finally got the win, just an incredible moment, happy for so many people. Great seeing the emotion of other black wrestlers and what that meant to them and the watch party in Ghana with Kofi's extended family. Just tremendous all around. Who could have figured, who saw that coming 3 months ago, where we got to? And you know, wrestling, when they realize something is hot and they go with it, that's just the best. And that was great on top of what it meant to have another black WWE champion for the first time since The Rock.
Now, Chris, the controversy arose during the build-up to WrestleMania about this racial aspect of it, and we discussed that a lot on our podcast. But I was going to ask you, do you think that creative, and we're talking Mr. McMahon here, do you think they did that on purpose to get publicity for WrestleMania, or was it just something that morphed after Kofi just started going over so much with the fans?
I think once it was clear we were headed to Kofi Bryan, it was something that they weren't going to be able to avoid talking about, the idea of only one black champion being The Rock. And so they alluded to it. They made some comments to it. You know, Big E cuts that Twitter promo talking about people like us. I think they let the New Day handle it the way they felt it should be handled appropriately. But the last couple of weeks, they kind of backed away from it and made it more about Kofi's 11 years in the company and all the opportunities he should have had. And they stepped a little bit away from the racial component of it, which, I mean, they did what they did. It was fine. But it was something I think they tried to tread carefully and leave a little bit open-ended, so people who maybe read into that way still had the opportunity to, while maybe other people didn't.
Chris Vanini of The Athletic joins us here on Turnbuckle Trash. Chris, look at the aftermath of WrestleMania 35. A new season starts, and it kind of kicks off with a superstar shakeup. What are your likes and what are your dislikes after that shakeup?
My likes are basically everything that happened to SmackDown. I mean, it's weird. SmackDown and Raw are just two completely different shows when it comes to priorities, when it comes to writing, when it comes to what things mean. So it was great to see that the women's division on SmackDown is now completely loaded. I think there's a lot to like on SmackDown. We don't even know what the tag team lineup is going to look over there. I think the Usos going to Raw is great. They're obviously an incredible tag team. I think AJ getting AJ Styles away from SmackDown to face a new group of opponents is a good thing to do that too. So that's where I think things are at. I think, you know, just like I said, SmackDown just feels so much better than Raw as a show. It's shorter, so it's easier to get through. Most of everything that happens on the show means something, and I'm really looking forward to all the various women's matches coming up in the rest of the year on SmackDown with so many people who are over there.
I've had so many people ask me, Chris, about the Superstar Shakeup and why Roman would go over there and why Finn Balor would go to SmackDown. And I got this one little thing, and I want to see if you agree with me. Fox Sports 1 later this year, and they're loading up to give Fox Sports 1 a great product, aren't they?
Yeah, I think that's what it is. I think, you know, usually when they do this, they try to keep a marquee top guy on each show, and makes sense for Roman to do that, to be the face of Fox once that comes and at the end of 2019. But I also like it just simply to get Roman in a new environment, to get him away from Seth, so we don't have that Seth versus Roman dynamic, which a lot of people thought Roman would be pushed right back into the Universal title picture. And like I said, I trust the people who run SmackDown that Roman will just be allowed to go out there and do some great wrestling because he's great in the ring, and it'll give people an opportunity to get back and really cheer for his character again, because there's last couple of weeks, even at WrestleMania, there's still some of that crowd who feels like booing him, even though the dude came back from cancer.
Right.
And I don't like that, but I think putting him on SmackDown, where I think he'll be put in a position to really shine and continue to get the adoration that he should be getting.
Hey, I want to ask you, this is going to sound like a weird question. If it doesn't make sense, just yell at me and I'll completely understand. But the whole, like, the Shield, like, farewell, I swear we've done that 5 times. And I'm getting really sick of it. Is there something that I'm missing in this? Or are they really just, are they just trying to do it right and they keep screwing up?
Are you talking about just in the last couple weeks with Dean leaving?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, like he's leaving, the contract's over. But I swear, it's okay, hey, one more time, they're going to get together. One more time, we're going to do this. And we've already done it. Like, I mean, what am I missing here?
Yeah, I mean, I get that they're trying to milk it. But if you only watch the show, it's not as much. I mean, Dean had his last match on Raw, which wasn't really a match. And then Seth, Roman, and Dean do their thing after the show. You only see it if you go to the YouTube channel. Now they're doing this house show event, which it's not a pay-per-view. It's not something they're really advertising a ton. So I think they're just trying to give people who want more Shield a little bit more Shield while they still can. And I don't blame them. I mean, it's been fine. I like the guys together. They like being together. I thought the little speech in the ring after Raw a couple weeks ago was very touching. So, yeah, it's a lot, and it comes on the heels of the breakup back in the fall when Roman left and Dean turned. And so we've kind of gotten – they were going to do it again, and Roman got hurt. So they've tried to bring them back together a couple of times, and people kept getting hurt or Roman gets cancer. And so now they get back together just to split up. So it does feel like it's a lot over the past couple of years.
Yeah. Well, Chris Vinnie of TheAthletic.com joins us on Turnbuckle Trash. You made a comment a few minutes ago I wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit about. You said SmackDown is 2 hours. Now, that's something I've been talking about for years. A 3-hour program is hard to put on, and, boy, it's almost exhausting every Monday night to watch Monday Night Raw. Why do you think about the rumors that SmackDown might go to 3 hours for Fox?
I don't like it. I mean, I get why they do it. I get the idea of getting a lot more money. And I can't say I blame them for that. The company's never been more profitable. But, man, it's just a lot. It Raw is a chore. And NXT SmackDown have found the right mix of time and storytelling. And, not only is Raw long, but there's not a story throughout the show. You have something happens at the beginning of the show, and it usually doesn't get addressed again until 2.5 hours later.
Yeah.
And it's not like Raw used to be where there was something progressing throughout the show. Even on SmackDown this past week, you had Kevin Owens join the New Day, and there were bits throughout the whole rest of the episode. And that's something we don't often get on these shows. It's more of a Raw, especially, is more of a variety show. It's not an episodic television show. Right. things don't advance very much. You have people wrestle the same people 5 weeks in a row and nothing changes. So you kind of got to get back to that storytelling. I think the flip side is, and some people have made this point to me, is that a lot of the shows are basically built for social media clips now. My brother is a wrestling fan. He doesn't really watch the shows very much. He'll watch the YouTube recaps, the 5-minute recaps of every match. And, you know, so there's different ways to reach out to people. I think 3 hours is too long. I don't know, understand how you're supposed to get new fans when you have a 3-hour show. Take your friends and say, hey, want to get into wrestling? Let's watch this show. You're not going to get them to sit there for 3 hours.
I hear you.
That's like 1.5 movies, and the viewership keeps going down, all the TV viewership's going down, but I feel like if you want it, they're not doing what they should to increase the TV audience if that's something they want to do. It may not be as important now as it used to be, but 3 hours, agree, too long.
Hey, final question for me, Chris. I mean, I know your time is so precious, and we greatly appreciate you spending some time with us here on Turnbuckle Trash. Next pay-per-view, Money in the Bank, May 19th in Hartford, Connecticut. What's one thing you would like to see in a storyline or a match for Money in the Bank on May 19th? And that might be a little bit too early to ask, but...
Yeah, it's hard to tell. As it relates to the show, I'm not sure, but in terms of what's going on right now, I'm fascinated to see where Kevin Owens and the New Day go, because there's part of your mind that just knows that Kevin Owens is going to turn on them at some point, because he always does this. Mm-hmm. But I was glad they didn't do it all in one episode. He befriended the New Day and then didn't turn on them at the end of the episode. They're gonna carry this out for a little bit. So if that does happen, you're going to feel it a bit more. So I'm looking forward to that. I don't know where, you know, we don't really know where Kofi's, you know, first title defense is going to be. Maybe it turns out to be Kevin Owens. Who sees when we get there? But I'm very curious to see that. Kevin Owens is a guy you can build a show around.
Oh,
he's
yeah.
so talented in everything, and it's great to see that he comes back and is now in this prime spot, maybe competing for the title. Or he's at least around the title right now. And he can do comedy. He can be a jerk. He can wrestle well. Just everything. It was great to see an episode built around him last week, and I'm very curious to see where Big O goes from here.
Yeah. Well, I was just one quick question, and then we'll kind of wrap things up. Outside of the WWE, in May, it looks like we're going to be having a big announcement about All Elite Wrestling. What have you been hearing about that?
Well, I know there's rumors going around right now that maybe, you know, they're in talks with Turner Broadcasting for a weekly show, which would be, I think, a game changer if that ends up happening. If they're on a major cable channel to get a show, weekly show possibly, I think that could really change the dynamic of things. There are rumors that maybe All Elite Wrestling would be paying for its airtime as opposed to being paid for it. I think Dave Meltzer said that's not the case. I don't know, but you know, it's not my money, so who am I to say what they should do with it? But I think they've done a good job of building, grabbing new characters, and that's gonna. I mean, the make or break is going to be what the TV situation is. You can't be Impact Wrestling on these obscure channels changing all the time, or Ring of Honor on a local simulcast station. So I think they've done a good job of building up the hype and not simply just signing every ex-WWE guy they can. I think there is a real plan there. We just kind of got to wait to see what that TV deal ends up being up. And if it is something like a TNT, I think that would be absolutely huge and a possible game changer for the wrestling business.
Hey, finally, you guys got a great promotion on The Athletic, and if people aren't taking advantage of this, they're sick and insane. Can you tell us about the promotion you guys got going on?
Yeah, it's theathletic.com/stateoftheprogram40. We're doing our state of the program off-season deep dives into a ton of teams right now, and for 40% off, it ends up being $3 a month at theathletic.com/stateoftheprogram40. You can get that discount. And that gives you access to everything in the entire Athletic Network, NBA, NFL, college football, soccer, what have you. There's no ads on the site. You know, feedback for the company over the last couple of years has been great. We continue to grow. If you like a pro sports team, we probably, or a college team, we probably have a beat writer on that team. So hope you give us a check out. And yeah.
That's Chris Vanini of The Athletic. He's now national college football reporter, does a absolute heck of a job. He's at Chris Vanini. That's V-A-N-N-I-N-I. Chris, thank you, thank you. And if I haven't said enough, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you so much, man.
Greatly appreciate it. You're one of the best in the business, and we found out firsthand today why. Enjoy the rest of WrestleMania season, or I guess wrestling season, and enjoy that break before college football season hits, huh?
Yeah. Yeah, thanks for having me, guys. It was a lot of fun.
Absolutely.
TheAthletic.com. Thanks a lot to Chris Vanini for joining us there. TheAthletic.com, check them out. They've got a great special going on right now. Chris on the Mat is coming up next. We're going to talk WrestleMania. And after Chris, we'll be back with more with Zane Peterson. This is Turnbuckle Trash.
It's Chris on the Mat.
I'm lost of words.
The original trash head, Chris Evans.
If a guy didn't get cracked open, he wasn't really wrestling.
Chris. On the mat.
You can make people sit their butts in those seats. Your box office.
This is TurnbuckleTrash.net.
You're changing your Depends over to diapers.
Today on Turnbuckle Trash, it's time for us to talk about what happened WrestleMania weekend. And we'll start off with Chris Evans. Hi, Chris. It's Chris on the Mat. What'd you think about Mania?
I have taken stock in Excedrin right now because my migraine has just started up as soon as I watched some of these matches. Whoa. Well, I'm gonna call it Botchamania.
Well, there were some botches. I think the best one was Dave Bautista. He had a couple in his, didn't he?
He had a lot in his. I mean, you start off, you get out of your car, you walk down the ramp, you get into the ring, and the first thing you do is you trip on the ropes. Uh-huh. Then you walk around and act, let's try this for the second time. Take two. God, really? And then when Triple H is trying to put the chain around, you went ahead and helped him.
I saw that one. And did you see how quickly they changed the camera angle when Dave was grabbing at the chain?
Yeah, they had to change it real quick because that was the dumbest thing I've ever seen. I almost turned off the live stream. I just about lost it. I said, oh my gosh, this is bad. This is bad.
Let's talk a little bit about that match itself with Triple H. It wasn't one of my favorites because I thought it was kind of slow.
It was two people having a match that didn't mean anything, basically. And we all know whose ego took over. But my question is, this is a no-holds-barred match, and I know that there's not going to be any blood, there's not going to be anything like that, but when you put a pair of nose pliers up to somebody who wears a nose ring into the ring, yeah, right, and you go to pull the nose ring out, don't you expect Batista's nose to be ripped instead of just little, you know, little blood? And Michael Cole acts like that he's gushing buckets.
Yeah, that was a little bit overboard. Yeah, that was.
A little overboard.
I just knew the sledgehammer was going to be there. I mean, I was sitting there just the whole time singing that Peter Gabriel song in my head. Come on, sledgehammer. I knew that was going to be coming out at some point.
We knew the sledgehammer was going to come into it, but I mean, they were going back and forth. It wasn't even 3 minutes into the match, and both of them were outwinded each other.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah, they were.
They couldn't go, and then Triple H looked like his arm was not functioning very well after that surgery. So I was hoping that Batista would beat Triple H, but after the 70-year-old Nature Boy Ric Flair comes out and hands Triple H another sledgehammer, and that was the end of it. We all knew what was going to happen. Yeah. So that match right there, I give it a one-star match. One star. I'll be like Dave Meltzer. I'm going to give you one star. I'm going to give you one star.
For you to agree with Dave Meltzer, man, it must have been pretty bad. You know, overall, I kind of enjoyed WrestleMania. There were some spots in there that I didn't, Let's talk a little bit about what else that you're upset about here on Turnbuckle Trash with WrestleMania 35.
The way that they set up WrestleMania 35 in the stadium, a lot of fans were upset because of the Randy Orton, AJ Styles match. The lighting in that stadium was blinding some of the fans where they couldn't even see the match.
Yeah.
Okay, let me ask you this. If you're a billion-dollar company, wouldn't you have someone, a couple of people, stay overnight and see about these lights and see where they're at and see, hey, you know what, those lights may have to go. And the people that were behind the screen for the big jumbo screen, boy, they weren't happy either.
Oh, I bet not. I've been to an event, not wrestling event, but other things where I've been behind a screen. And I was going, why did they even put chairs and seats here? It's just a waste of time and a waste of my money. So I can imagine yes. that, yeah.
A lot of people are saying, well, I want a refund or I want tickets to the next summer, like SummerSlam. Folks, do you think the WWE cares? No. And then the next thing that really got me was the Andre the Giant Battle Royal.
That was, excuse me, pathetic. It was one of the worst things I have ever seen. And when you put Andre the Giant's name to that, they should be ashamed of themselves on that one.
Especially how it ended.
Oh.
So you're telling me that this man goes through all these guys, and then all of a sudden, here comes the Saturday Night Live people from under the ring. Like, we don't see that coming. I was expecting Hornswoggle to be underneath the ring, too.
That would have been better.
Yeah,
he'd have more of a chance against Braun Strowman.
After those two got out of, when they got into the ring and then Braun Strowman turns and looks at him, I turned it off. I said, I don't want to watch it. I know it's fixing to happen. You all have just really messed this match up. Forget it. And a lot of people were acting that way.
Yeah.
Everybody on Twitter and Facebook and everybody was like, why are they doing this? I mean, who's that person that loves to book matches? Oh, the famous one. I mean, did he book this match? Did that what was his name that we can't stand?
Oh, Vince Russo?
Yeah, did Vince do this?
That's like a Vince Russo type event, wasn't it?
Yes, it was like a Vince Russo type event. Because a lot of people are saying, is Vince gone to go back and writing this crap?
You know what it was? You start thinking about this. You put a little thought process into what happened. And I have very little thought processes, as we know. But who owns the USA Network? NBC Universal.
Yes, that's true.
And Saturday Night Live is on what network?
NBC.
I bet that was part of the negotiation process, trying to get wrestling fans to get into Saturday Night Live again when we all know Saturday Night Live sucks.
It does now. It does now.
I was so disappointed in it. I watched the match itself. I was going, why are they even doing this? And then to have it associated with Andre the Giant, I'm upset for his family. That was just stupidity. And one other thing, I got to say this.
Go ahead.
2 years in a row, Braun Strowman, a great performer, get these hands. People just get into him. They're making him a joke now. He's nothing.
Oh, yeah. They have made this. He's supposed to be the monster among men, and now he's the Mickey Mouse among men. I don't know what they're doing, how they're thinking, but they could have made this man into a world champion anytime they wanted to. And after Nicholas, when they did that with Nicholas, that's when his career went down the crapper.
I don't know what he did to tick off Vince, but evidently he's done something.
Yeah.
Because 2 years in a row to be written into the worst storyline of the year. I mean, the worst storyline last year for the entire year, Nicholas and that tag team champion. And the front runner this year, Andre the Giant Memorial Battle Royal. And I can't see anything getting stupider than that.
Well, I'll say that, but there was one that almost came in a short running to it.
Okay.
That didn't need to happen, and why they involved this gentleman to be, I know why they did it, but it was The Miz and Shane McMahon, and they put in Miz's father, and The Miz's father made himself look like an idiot when he put his hands up. I mean, it looked like Popeye that didn't have a shave for about 3 weeks. Andre the Giant Battle Royal used to be this big event where you could probably get a championship bid. Now it's for nothing. It doesn't build up your career. It doesn't do anything for you. Why are you doing it? Because of Andre the Giant? No. This is it's comedy. Why does wrestling believe that they have to have comedy in this business now? I don't get it. Well, they don't need it.
It's been around for so long. There's always been that comedic element. I mean, you go.
Yeah, that's true.
You go on way back. Doink the Clown. You had Santino Marella. You've got a lot of independent wrestlers that are doing the comedy gimmick, like Gentleman Jervis. And by the way, Zane loves Gentleman Jervis.
I'm glad he does. He looks like a walking car wash to me with that hair. I'm expecting him to do one of his little spin moves, and that's going to be knocking people out with his hair. I mean, good Lord, what is that?
Yeah.
I mean, so, no, I'm glad he likes Gentleman Jervis. I've seen him maybe one time. You know who I would love to see enter the Andre the Giant Battle Royal? Would have been Walter.
Oh, did you watch NXT TakeOver?
Yes, I did. Yes, I did.
Was that incredible? I mean, two years in a row. I think this year WrestleMania was better than last year's, and maybe NXT TakeOver wasn't quite as good as last year's, so they were a little bit more even. But that Walter Pete Dunne match was incredible.
My gosh. I mean, Walter is somebody that reminds me of a young Kane. He sells nothing. He's impervious to pain. And this man is a giant. He looked at Pete. And you can't tell me Pete Dunne didn't look and go, well, this is going to hurt. So I would just say, look, man, we're going to be friends after we get in the back. But right now, just don't hurt me that bad,
just
please.
Just don't hurt me. Please.
Yes.
I saw Walter for the first time last year. And it was Zack Sabre Jr., I think it was, he took on. And I watched it on a YouTube match. And I was going, oh, my word. This guy is huge. And then it was about a month later, they announced he had signed with the WWE in their Great Britain, the NXT London, whatever they're calling that now. But man, he is a beast. He's a monster. He really is.
Yes, he is. The man is huge. He could be something big, but I would love to see him not in the UK. I'd love to see him on Raw or SmackDown. Yeah, but, I would like to see that.
But Walter has expressed no interest in coming to the States except for special events. When he was signed, he actually said that he would prefer to spend more time in Europe, closer to his family. He doesn't want to do a lot of traveling. So I think he'll be here occasionally, but it won't be a long-term thing unless Vince just throws lots of money at him.
Well, yeah, I don't blame him. I wouldn't want to do on-the-road things either. I'd want to stay where I'm at home. But, you know, money talks and everything walks. So if the money's right, you never know. We may see Walter come out on, or Kofi Kingston, you never know.